Welcome to our worship service. When you get a holiday like Thanksgiving, a lot of people have traditions, things that they do every Thanksgiving. Maybe they go to a certain place. Maybe they like a certain kind of food. Maybe they have other things that they enjoy doing. As Christians, we realize that Thanksgiving isn't just one time a year. It's really something that you and I should be doing every day to thank the Lord for what He does for us. It should be our tradition every day to thank Him because He provides for us physically and spiritually every day. As we study God's Word tonight, there are a lot of reasons for us to be thankful, and we'll study that tonight. How gracious our God is to us, and He gives us all these things out of His undeserved love. We have every reason to be thankful. In the name of our Father, our Creator, the Son, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He has created us to be a people for Himself. It is good and right to give thanks to our God at all times and in all places. Come, worship, and bow down before the Lord of all the earth.
To His great name be glory, for His loving kindness never fails.
Almighty God, our Father, for Your generous goodness comes to us every new day. By the work of Your Holy Spirit, lead us to acknowledge Your goodness, give thanks for Your benefits, and serve You in willing obedience. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our series of scripture readings is from the Gospel of Matthew. Each one encourages us to be thankful for a particular thing in our life. This first one from Matthew chapter 6 is to be thankful for our treasure in heaven. Obviously, a treasure is something valuable, and when Jesus talks here, there's so many things that you and I could worry about. But heaven is something that God gives us. No worries needed because it's ours by faith. Here's what Jesus said. Do not store up for yourselves treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. For this reason I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Which of you can add a single moment to his lifespan by worrying? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not clothe you even more, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the unbelievers chase after all these things. Certainly your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our second lesson is from Matthew 15, verses 29 to 38. Be thankful that Jesus provides. Jesus often took care of people's needs. Maybe it was performing miracles to help their physical ailments. Maybe it was providing food for them, as Jesus does here. But he always did those things to show that he isn't just a man, he's true God and our Savior. Jesus moved on from there and went along the Sea of Galilee. He went up onto the mountain and sat there. Large crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, those unable to speak, and many others. They put them down at his feet, and he healed them. As a result, the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healed, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me already 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they might faint on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where can we get so many loaves in the wilderness to satisfy such a large crowd?" Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven and a few small fish." He instructed the crowd to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, and broke them. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were filled. They picked up 7 basketfuls of the broken pieces that were left over. Those who ate numbered 4,000 men, without counting the women and children. Our third scripture lesson is from Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. Jesus knew that people needed earthly things, earthly provisions for themselves, but he wanted his disciples to understand how important the truth of God's word really is. When he talks about yeast here, he's talking about false teaching that was going on in Bible times and still goes on today. He wanted people to be thankful for the truth of his word. And that's one thing that we are truly thankful for, having God's word and knowing exactly what he wants us to believe and do. When his disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread along. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They were discussing this among themselves and said, "It is because we did not bring any bread." Since Jesus knew what they were saying, he said, "You of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you brought no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you picked up? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not warning them about the yeast and bread, but about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is his will for you in Christ Jesus. The word of God for our study and encouragement is from Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 10. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Then know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vine and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Dear fellow worshipers, when I was a student in school, there was one thing that I never wanted my teacher or my professor to say, and that was the word test. I didn't like taking tests. When you took a test, that meant that you had to know what you were talking about. You had to really study hard. It took a long time to study and to get things into your mind so that you could write a test and then spell everything out on those pieces of paper that were handed to you. Well, I didn't enjoy the test, but now as a teacher, I understand why you give tests. And that's because you want to know if the students are learning what you're teaching them. When I hand out a test in confirmation class, that's the idea. We've studied these 10 units, let's say, and now we're going to have a test and we're going to go back and we're going to review all the 10 commandments and all the key words and everything that we've studied. Because if I haven't taught the students well, then that's on me, and I need to do a better job. And if the students aren't learning it, well, then they need to make some changes too. It's a test to see where you're at. Well, sometimes God gives us tests as believers. He wants to know where we're at spiritually. He wants to know how strong our faith is, and he wants to know if we love him most of all kinds of things. And that's what God was doing here in this Old Testament Bible story. He was testing the Old Testament people to see where they stood with God. In the end, after the Israelites could see everything that God was doing for them, God encouraged them to be thankful. Look at all these things that I'm giving to you and blessing you with. And you and I can say the same thing about our lives this evening. Look at what God has done for us. Look at how he provides and cares for us. So when God is in our lives, he wants us to be thankful. Thankful for those times when he comes to us and guides us with his word. Thankful for those times when he, like the Israelites, was disciplining them and us and showing us the right ways to live. We can also be thankful as we look at all of God's blessings and see how greatly he takes care of each of us. After the fall into sin, God had this plan. He was going to send a Savior into the world. The Israelite people were very key in all of this because Jesus was going to be their descendant. By the time that Moses is the leader of the people, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt. Remember how they were there for more than 400 years. God sends Moses there, and he convinces Pharaoh with these plagues that God was sending to let the people go free. So God was guiding them. Pharaoh allowed them to leave Egypt after all those years of slavery. They got to take all their possessions with them, take things from the Egyptians, and God guided them right to the Red Sea. And then when Pharaoh follows behind, he rescues them by taking them through the sea on dry ground, where the Egyptians are in the water then, and they all drown by God's command. Then they get to Mount Sinai. God gives them the Ten Commandments. Now he's going to guide them with those commands, and they're going to go right from there to the promised land. And you heard in this Bible reading what a wonderful place it was going to be for the people. There was a problem, though. The people didn't like how God was guiding them. They started to complain against God. Well, first, they took it out on Moses. They complained against Moses, the leader, and they didn't really like what Moses was doing. They even complained, you know, before they got through the Red Sea, they thought Moses brought them out there to die in the wilderness. They forgot all about God's power back in Egypt. They didn't want God to guide them. They complained about Moses, then they complained about God, and they didn't like any of it. They didn't like this long trip. They didn't like this trip that would take them to a new land that they didn't know where it was or how long they would be traveling. And instead of being thankful, they were very unappreciative and mocking God and the leadership that Moses was giving. God needed to guide them because they couldn't do this on their own. They needed to listen to what God was saying because he had only their best interest in mind. And as long as they decided to live on their own terms, there was going to be a problem and God was going to have to discipline them. God wants to guide your life and mine too. Every single day, God wants to guide us. He guides what we think about. He guides what we say. He wants to guide what we do and what we're involved in. And through the faith that he has placed into our hearts, he wants to guide us. He's doing that tonight as we study his word and we look at the things that God is expecting of us. He wants to guide our lives, and he's very serious about it. This is what he told the Israelites and what he's also saying to us. He told them, be very careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land God promised on oath to your forefathers. So you obey me, here come the blessings. And if you don't follow my guidance, then there's going to be problems. God wants you and I to listen to his guidance in our lives every day, because as we listen, he's guiding us in a way that will please him and that will bless our lives. Have you ever tried to give advice to someone, but they didn't really want to listen? I think that happens a lot when you're a parent. You give advice to your kids and they sometimes don't want to listen to what you're saying. Maybe they think they have better ideas, or maybe it's a friend of yours you want to give advice to and they're not wanting to listen either. Sometimes we're like that with the Lord. Sometimes we don't want to listen. We think we have better ideas than God does about how to live our lives or what's important. But then you think about who you and I are. We're just sinful human beings. We're not smarter than God. We don't know more than God. And left to ourselves, we would be going in all the wrong directions. How thankful we can be that God brought us to faith, that he's with us every day, that every day he's guiding us with his word and helping us to live a Christian life. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance that you give us. And thank you, Lord, for the times when you need to discipline us too. So the people of Israel are not listening to God. They don't want to follow him. They don't think that God has the right things in mind. They actually thought that they could go back to Egypt. They were slaves there, but they said, yeah, the food is great. Maybe we should just go back there. So God disciplined them. He told the people, the Israelites, all of them that were adults were not going to enter the promised land. Just Joshua and Caleb, those were the two faithful men that had gone into Canaan that were spies. They had faithfully served the Lord. They were going to get to stay, but all the other adults were going to die. So God made them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until all the adults had died. And then the place would be inherited by their children, this wonderful promised land. And that was quite a lesson for them to learn. You don't obey the Lord, well then there's going to be some consequences. In these verses here in Deuteronomy and in the chapters around chapter 8, Moses uses a particular phrase with the people. He says, remember the Lord. He repeats it several times. And remember doesn't just mean, you know, think about the Lord and who he is, but it means remember who the Lord is and follow him and believe him and love him and trust him. Remember the Lord. So it was a lesson not in wanting to do things themselves on their own terms, but a lesson in following what God says. Well, that's a wonderful lesson for you and me too. Sometimes we're at odds with what God says in the Bible and how he wants us to live. Sometimes we're the ones that think we're smarter than the Lord, and yet God would say to us, remember who I am. The one true God that created everything and created us and has everything under his control is the God that you and I are to follow by faith. Thank you, Lord, for the times when you have to teach us lessons just like you taught the Old Testament people. God does that out of love to bring us closer to Him in faith. There's one commandment that uses the word remember. That's the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And when we have the third commandment, we're talking about setting aside our time for the Lord. That's really what the commandment is saying. Think about who God is and what He's done. Remember to set aside your time for God. Well, that's the commandment, but quite often people don't follow that command. Some think that they can go to church every once in a while or have a conversation with the Lord in prayer every once in a while. But God wants us to remember Him all the time. And it's a good reminder for us, too. We're here this evening. We have all the opportunities for worship. We have so many things where we could be involved in God's Word. And as important as it was for the Old Testament people to remember the Lord, what an encouragement it is for us to do the same. Not just to remember the commandment, but actually use that command to live in a way that pleases God. Thank you, Lord, for your discipline when we need it. Thank you for teaching us lessons about who we are and about how you are. And then, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each day. 40 years was a long time to wander in the wilderness. Can you even imagine walking in sand and living in tents 40 years, wandering around in circles aimlessly? That's what God had them do. But maybe the people noticed how God took care of them. He provided them with food every day. Their clothes didn't wear out in those 40 years. They didn't have stores that they were going to. And they had the physical endurance to be able to get there and do all that wandering and then get to the promised land. God was taking care of them in every way. But more important than that, by taking the people to the promised land, God was going to keep that promise of sending a Savior into the world. And that was the most important one of all. God does the same thing for us. Maybe you've thought about Thanksgiving a little bit the last couple days and you've taken an inventory of your blessings. Think about all the things that you and I have in our earthly lives here. All the ways that God provides for us. How He gives us food every day and a home to live in and a warm bed to sleep in and friends and family and jobs and incomes and hundreds of other things. God takes care of absolutely everything. But most important of all, God takes care of us by providing for our spiritual needs. We've seen that promise of the Messiah fulfilled. We know what Jesus has done. And we know the blessings that we receive from Him. You and I didn't bring ourselves to faith. God did that through the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I didn't work out our forgiveness to take away all of our sins. Jesus had to do that by living perfectly and dying innocently. You and I know that we're going home to heaven, but it's not because of something that we did. Jesus simply gives it to us. All these things are gifts from God. Gifts that we don't deserve. We may take them for granted. They may be so familiar to us that we don't think about them regularly. But what a blessing that God takes care of every physical need that we have, every spiritual need that we have, and gives us the confidence and the enjoyment of our faith to live each day. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings to us that you provide for us even without our asking for it. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Friday is Black Friday. That's when all the sales start. Those are the commercials that you see on TV right now. And the holiday season will continue until, well, after New Year's, I guess. So it's going to be going on for a while. It's easy to get caught up in all the things that are happening out there in our world and to forget what Thanksgiving is really all about. Or to forget what Thanksgiving is all about, and then Christmas too. Forget about what the message is and how important it is to have our Savior with us. Sometimes all of those distractions, I think, would be much better not being able to have all those things about the holiday season. And just have the simple things about Thanksgiving. Not all the commercials and not all the football games, that's fun stuff to watch, but just opportunities to be thankful, like we're doing tonight. Same thing with Christmas. There's so many things, so many responsibilities of buying gifts and going here and going there and trips that we take and everything else, and all of it's enjoyable. But if it takes away from what's important, then that's not something that God wants us to be interested in. What blessings we have when we understand the simple message of Thanksgiving, the simple message of the upcoming Christmas season. Look at what God has done for us. We can be so thankful for all these blessings and all the things that God provides. God has His hand in our lives just like He did with the Old Testament people. We can thank Him tonight for His guidance and His discipline when we need it and every blessing that we receive every day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, when you open your hand, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. May your name be praised and your grace glorified. Today we remember with joy the gifts that you provide for us. Again and again you pour on us all that we need for daily living, health, strength, companionship, and all of our material blessings. We thank you especially for the incomparable spiritual blessings you have given us through Jesus. It is true that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Yet with all these blessings, Father, we are often greedy and ungrateful. We often complain and worry. Forgive us for these and all of our sins in the name of Jesus. Prevent our many blessings from becoming Satan's trap to lead us astray. Keep our minds on things above in heaven, not on these earthly things. On this Thanksgiving evening, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Bless us all with the faith that seeks first your kingdom and your righteousness. Assure us that you will supply all of our other needs as well. Make us bold to give as generously as you have given to us. Be with your people wherever they might be on this holiday. Protect those who are traveling. Cheer the hearts of the lonely. Comfort those who sorrow. And look with compassion on the poor and the needy. Hear us, Lord, as we spend a moment bringing you our private prayers. Dear Father, fill us today and every day with a humble and grateful faith that sincerely prays. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We ask this in Jesus' name as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you peace. Amen.